Our reading of Scripture is from Psalm 51. Psalm 51. The text that God gives to us this morning is in the fourth verse. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. May God bless our reading of his holy word. The fourth verse, Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Remember how the psalm began. A plea for mercy. Have grace. Have grace according to thy mercy and according to thy many merciful compassions. The only basis is God's attitude of grace to us. Then, verses 2 through 4 demonstrate confession, genuine, real confession of sin. 2 and 3 make us focus on ourselves, make us see ourselves and admit it's not somebody else, it's not others, it's not other circumstances, it's me. And that's why 8 times in those 2 verses he has that first person personal pronoun referring to himself, I, me, my. Then the other part of true confession is the recognition that sin is committed against God. Now, 2 and 3 started that already, because in those two verses, the words that are used to describe sin are presented. Transgressions, sin, iniquities. And that's looking at what we do from the viewpoint of God. It's God saying something, his position, his perspective of what we did wrong. Well, 4 emphasizes that. And so the first thing we face is this rather too strong? Is it an overstatement on the part of David to say against thee, thee only have I sinned? He sinned against Uriah. His sin was also against the nation of which he was king. So they were affected. But David does not say, I have sinned against God and Uriah. And he doesn't say either, by the Spirit, I have sinned against Uriah and the nation, but I've sinned against God more. No, he's inspired to say against God, against thee. Very personal. He sees God and himself, just the two, against thee, and then he emphasizes, thee only have I sinned. What are we to learn from that? We sometimes can see how what we say, how we say things, what we do, really can hurt others. We see how they're affected. But that can be true of those without faith as well. You don't need faith. You don't need to believe in the Scriptures and in God and in Jesus as the Son of God in order to be able to see that what we do has, can have, and does have an adverse effect on others. Even they see that. That's why sometimes they'll say, I'm sorry. What we're to learn, what God is teaching with this emphatic statement, is this fact, that the heart of every sin is that it's a violation of the will of God. It's against God. God, our Maker, and for us, God, our Father, God, our Savior. And the heart of every sin is that it does injury. That's not overstatement. It does injury to God. If it's not against God, then it's not wrong. Now that's a strong way to say it the other way, the other side. If it's not against God, it's not wrong. What makes sin, sin, is that it is against God himself. That can be demonstrated by looking at the world around us. Why is abortion approved? The arguments that say abortion is not a sin and it may be done have absolutely no concept of God. They're not thinking about God. When they want to approve homosexuality, they're not thinking about God. When we're ready to approve or not confess and admit our sins. We're not thinking about God. He's not in the picture. What makes a sin a sin? What makes a deed that's committed against a neighbor so terrible is precisely because it's against God. An attack of his person. Fifth commandment. Why is dishonor and disrespect to anybody that's put in authority over us so terrible? Because God put that authority there, and it is God's authority that we're disrespecting. Now, we can excuse it because, well, they did something stupid. They made a foolish rule, and we can violate that. Or we can, and they don't know what they're doing anyway. We can make all kinds of excuses about them. But every time we do that, we're forgetting him. He's gone. He's not in our thoughts. David is bringing God directly before us. And God's making the people of Uriah and of Bathsheba and the nation, the whole nation of Israel, the whole church, he's making that rather small as he makes God so big, so large in our vision and before our mind. What makes adultery wrong? You're touching God's purity and his holiness. What makes murder wrong and every grudge? Because we're challenging God's wisdom to have put that person in front of us. What makes lying wrong? It's because God is truth. What makes every attempt to cover up wrong? Because we deny God's omniscience. What makes coveting wrong? It's because we refuse to acknowledge that God demands our heart and our will and our mind as well as our deeds and words. And he sees it and he knows it. It's against the only. When we see God, that being that is possessive of every virtue infinitely and eternally, when we see him and we confess that our sin is against him, then we're truly, accurately, genuinely confessing. David, for 9 months, knew what he did to Uriah and to Bathsheba. He never confessed it. He didn't see that it was wrong. He didn't admit it. And it wasn't until Nathan came to him and said to him, "Thou art the man," that then David's confession, so brief, but so perfect, so complete, was, "I have sinned against Jehovah." I have sinned against Jehovah. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. That's how we have to work, have to strive to have before us that vision of God. How we say things, why we say things, that we do it out of faith, that we do it to his glory, that's all inside. And he sees and knows every part of that. That's what must play the role in our thinking. If you will, leave the neighbor out of it and look instead only at how what we say, do, and how we do it, How does it affect him? How does it stand in relationship to him? Or if you will, what does he see in thy sight? What does he see? When we drink too much, when we listen to the music we like, when we dwell on what others have done against us, and we refuse to promise to forgive them, when there is ongoing strife with a fellow saint, when we refuse to talk with others at the convention because I remember, that's all against God. That's what this passage of Scripture is making us see. Don't look at people. Look at God. Against thee only, have I sinned. David goes on in that verse and he talks about God being justified when he speaks and clear when he judges. The last part of that verse of the passage that God gives to us this morning emphasizes this. It's not just against God, but that God, because of the holiness of his nature and the perfection of his being, must respond. Because he is the highest good, he may be jealous. We may not be, because he is the only good. He may be jealous because he is the highest good. We're not. We don't have any right to be jealous of anything. And thus God is the only one who has the right to judge that which is committed violently against him. Consciously, willingly, unconsciously, unwillingly. It's against him. And he judges. He condemns. He has the right to punish. When David said in that 13th verse of 2 Samuel 12, I have sinned against Jehovah, he knew that he was worthy to die. That was the Old Testament law of Moses. That's the way it was to be implemented, as a punishment for murder and for adultery. He knew that. I have sinned against Jehovah. And that's why Nathan's response shows and demonstrates David's awareness of his right to die. The Lord hath passed. Put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Immediately said it to him. David was acknowledging his worthiness to die. When we say, I am sorry, when we confess, against God have I sinned, then the consciousness must be there, I'm worthy of eternal hell, of real death. I deserve no longer to live. I deserve to live, to exist in eternal damnation of God, have only his wrath. I deserve that because I have sinned against that pure, holy God. And that's why as long as we look at our sins, our violations of God, but we don't put God into the picture, we're not going to acknowledge that. The reality is this. Confession is an awareness of that heavenly Father seeing us. It's not what other humans say. Let's quickly cover that idea, that aspect that's implied. It's against God. It's not others. It's not what they say, what they might condemn or disapprove of. Yes, what we do has an effect on others. That truly is there. But for us, the consciousness must be, this is what I am doing against my Father in heaven. Man's approval cannot save me. Man's disapproval cannot condemn me. Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether man approves or disapproves. Does Father approve? Does Father disapprove? Because it's against Him, the only way to escape is to confess to Him. And that confession, one more time, is an acknowledgement that He has the right to condemn me forever to hell, to make me the object of His wrath. Now, we can classify sins, some worse than others, but here's where every sin is equal. There are distinctions in sins and sinfulness, but in this, everyone is equal. Everyone deserves eternal wrath, burning, and it's never quenched. So there's David, standing before God now, acknowledging that it's against Him. And beloved, as we come to the table, the only reason we need that bread and that wine is because now we go one step further, and that's this. Not only is my sin against Him, not only does He have the right to condemn me forever, but in confession, we are giving Him the glory. I rob Him of glory when I'm only concerned about what other people might say or think. I'm not thinking about Him. He's not in the picture. So I'm not only sinning against Him, not sinning against Him or think I'm not, but I'm not even giving Him in the honor and the glory that He deserves. So confession, genuine confession against Thee, Thee only, is acknowledging God is worthy of my praise and my perfect obedience. He's worthy of my love and of my worship. And thus, He receives the glory. If He's not in my mind, I'm not acknowledging. He is to be glorified. Whatsoever ye do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. I'm not thinking about Him. But to say I have sinned against Jehovah is to say, is to glorify Him, to honor Him. He's worthy of my obedience, and I acknowledge that. It's also acknowledging, as David did, I deserve to die. That would mean this: God is worthy of glory because He alone can condemn me, and He's right to condemn me. He's just to condemn me. I acknowledge that. I glorify Him by thinking of that very truth. Simply, God is worthy of condemning me. Now just think of our life. How many times when someone is going to bring a fault to us, do we make excuses? We don't just simply say, "You're right, I have sinned against Jehovah." We've got reasons. We've got excuses. We've got others to blame. Think of a little kid. "Well, he hit me first." "Well, they're not worthy of being forgiven because you know what they did?" There we go. No God. No honor. Yes, he hurt Uriah. But it was against God, who's only done good to every single one of us. When he says Jehovah, David does in 2 Samuel 12:13, that's that God who's established that tremendously wonderful relationship. Now, one other step. That God was just when he laid the punishment and the condemnation that our sins deserve on his own son, who did nothing wrong in himself, who absolutely lived a perfect life, and yet God was right, God was just to condemn him to death so that he bore that eternal wrath and condemnation for us. God is glorified in the payment that he made, unasked for all of our sins. He paid it. He's glorified. It's all about God. And that is his glory further, because not only is he glorified in rightly condemning our sin, but he's also glorified in that the one who bore that punishment lived such a perfectly holy life that God, without violating justice, not only put our sins on him, but he took his righteousness and he gave it to us. That death becomes a part of us. Physically, yes, but spiritually, in our heart, that death is mine, and that righteousness, that obedience that made him walk that way is mine. It's yours. And now we may walk out of here justified, singing, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise him." This is what he did. The one against whom we sinned did this for us. Amen. Let's pray. Great and glorious Father, giver of thy Son as the greatest gift, an unspeakable one, we praise thee and we thank thee. Bless us with this truth imprinted upon our souls. Help us to acknowledge that thou art to be honored, so that when we leave here, we're more aware than ever that if we don't, It's against Thee, Thee only, that we have sinned. For Jesus' sake, amen.